Na popoldanski kavi ob dežju smo se pogovarjali s Cepom Gründlerjem iz Univerze v Gradcu in Simge Esin iz Univerze v Istanbulu o izobraževanju na področju novomedijske umetnosti v okviru pilotskega seminarja Taktike in prakse – gonilniki novih medijev.
Like you to speak a little bit in the future of how it is possible to develop such studies, and especially concerning your question and also this difference between interactive design and new media art. Where do they meet, and how is it possible, and how sensible is it at all to teach art especially?
This was one of my topics, is because we are not an art school, but we are seeing, on the one side, we are using art because many of our teachers are artists. We are using art mainly as a kind of ticket to the students, so that, because we say if they do normal design, let's say homegrown, conservative design, they will get, nobody will care about them in 10 years. They will make boring things. And some of them also maybe will switch over and become artists, but it's also for us to open up their minds and to bring them to new ideas. So this is why we do these art projects with them, and also because we don't want to do classic design things. We have teachers for this, but not exclusively to do this. This is the one thing. And the other thing, yeah, it's the saying of, I think it was Avramov, a scientist, theoretician, who said, if your only tool is a hammer, the whole world is a nail. So you have to to understand that the tools you use are really also responsible for the world you create. So you have to know about the tools. They cannot be black boxes. It's not possible. Of course, an artist or a designer has not to know every detail. He has, or she has to understand what transformation the tool is at least doing, or what kind of reality the tool is offering. So this is the one thing. And the other thing what I wanted to talk in the evening is this, just very pragmatic, about what does the Bologna process and what does this bachelor and master thing, is this a chance for us to make it more open over all over Europe, to Turkey and also to other countries, so that we can exchange, especially in the master programs. I think this is a very big chance that students can go abroad, make their master somewhere else. And what have we to define in the future, so that it's really, we have at least a little kind of basic line of understanding that I know if a student comes from Ankara, from Istanbul, from Spain, from somewhere else, and he has 180 ECTS, what does this mean for me? Yeah, if I say, okay, you can study. We have no problem because we have this study entrance examination. So I say to everybody, can basically nearly everybody can come, because I see in the entrance examination, I see if he or she, if we can accept them or not. But yeah, it's really complicated, this field, because on the one hand you have this European bureaucracy who wants to make everything very rigid and fixed, and you have to say which study is from, you make lists and say, okay, this bachelor studies, they are approved for making this master. And I say, but you know, it can be a really bad art study in somewhere, yeah, in Graz, and it could be approved on the list because it's just from the same thing, or a design study, and they are really bad students. And then there could be some study like business communication, which is not on the list, but if the students are very interested and open-minded, then maybe they can come, and they are much better students than the design grad students. So it's very complicated to make this, on the one side, really open-minded, because master studies have to be open-minded, but on the other side, to have a little common amount of facts that we can rely on.
But it's especially problematic with, if you look at actually new media art represents, it could be bio art, it could be, you know, so if you close it up to a certain, you know, technology, art-oriented, like Faculty of Information and Computers and Art, this is not the only possible connection. It is an important connection,
Definitely about here. Yeah.
Yeah, it's an important connection. Of course, that's where it starts, but... you know, new media art is not about technology only.
No.
Especially I see that from your works like Google.
Yeah.
This is a very good example of how new media art can be very DIY, very low tech. It only takes like the perception, the idea of the new media culture. I'm very interested in this, what you were saying about the structure of the university and then the Bolognian system, but maybe because it's so complicated, but then...
cannot discuss it deeper. It's not...
I'm interested in your methods of valuing what is a good work and your method of coaching students through and directing them quality criterias inside of your studies.
For this I also would appreciate if we have at least two lecturers are here from our university, and Catherine Rollier, who was responsible for this work, she should then say something about it. Because this is also one of our, as head of the departments of my department and of my colleague of Karl Stocker of information design, that we really do this not by chance, but we intend to get teachers like Catherine Rollier, who were very traditionally educated. She was in Switzerland and one of the most famous graphic schools, so she is...
How graphics?
Yeah, she is really a hardcore making books and posters and things like that, and then confront and then think, but you have to go to the new media students, media and interaction students, and make a work with them so that they think not in technical terms. On the other hand, they have guys like me or Daniel who are more like tinkering and trying to exploring things, but on the other hand you have to have these ladies and guys that come from the complete opposite side, and
exactly. And
so that they have a different approach and they are not so nerdy and things and laugh everything which is just bleeping and blurping some sounds.
That's exactly the problem with why only art and technology connection is so problematic, and that is also a question. Okay, here new media or whatever it is taught in the framework of the Fine Art Academy, and I think that there are pro and contras for that and against, because then you don't know the tools that you are using if you are studying, I don't know, all painting at the same time, in the same time it gives you a sort of attitude towards art, towards conceptualizing, towards making things, you know, towards visualizing, which is sometimes neglected. It's not a problem for some artists that neglect it, but it's not like it cannot be a modus operandi for a school to teach, maybe.
Actually, I'd like to say that as you approach to the subject from the perspective of art, I'd like to approach the subject to the perspective of interaction. And I'd like to bring up the idea of innovation, because what technology and art and the interface intersection area is missing is the innovation part of it. And innovation is something that you bring out an information in a coded way. So the media and technology is actually making the information organization as a coded thing. The traditional artists were making some kind of uncoded information and giving it to us in a traditional way. But now new media arts and interactive artists are bringing the information in using a different medium and coding it, actually. So
I think also the traditional artists did code it, but we are so used to the codes they use, so that we don't think about it.
Exactly, but
not everybody understands it. If you look at the ordinary people, they do not understand it.
Yeah, even also not if you go to the name at Eremitage, if you look at the 16th century paintings, which are very coded with a lot, you have really to understand all
the societies.
Also the painters, they had really hidden stories to
coding thing, what I want to mean with the code is the actually computer technology, or because you are using the codes 1-0 or programming or software.
Yes, but that's the theory of semantics that has been developing now.
Exactly.
And basically it derives from classic semantics. Mm-hmm. And actually what they have come up with in this research, early the Noam Chomsky early work, like 78, mm-hmm. one book.
Languages. This one.
He actually pointed out everything that still stays today. Yeah. It's still stable.
Exactly.
So that you didn't need new media. You know, you didn't need. Actually, the media to be able to perceive how the semantic interaction is going to evolve. So
it's a new way of expressing, and maybe new media is also helping to get to larger social circles. You know, because by the help of Web 2.0 or other things, new media is expanding our opportunities to reach to other people in other societies, in other regions. But how you express the context is the problem, because once you take, for example, from the example given there, I didn't say anything, but because I didn't feel it was appropriate, the chamber of the priest and put it on internet is not something that you feel relieved about for being how you express your shame or whatever you're expressing to the priest. It's not something you click, it's the voice that you hear and you feel the relief of it. And how you give through the media is the context of it. So once you find the context, then you can find the how you're going to code it. It can be an analog media or a traditional one, it doesn't matter, but it becomes the essence of new media or the interaction design, in my opinion. Because the subjects are so many. For example, what I'm going to propose as the educational models that we use in our university is that you can take historical or cultural forms of art and use it and adapt it to your educational system as a source of inspiration, not as an adaptation, but an inspiration, like Ottoman miniatures to show great mapping and framing of storyboards and how you develop a 3D environment in a 2D context. For example, prayer beads. You know prayer beads?
Yes.
Yeah.
For example, one of our students created, used prayer beads to create a gesture-based TV remote control. And you can go through channels, you can skip the channels, and interaction is that TV and prayer bead are both enjoyable media, you know? So how you put it together, shadow play. Turkish shadow play gives very good opportunities to understand the spatial references of how you display and exhibit something. And this is one part of our educational system. The other thing is the breaking the rules. We are so used to everything that is given to us and we don't even judge or criticize. So once you give students problems that you obstruct or limit the components of interactive media like sound, image, text, whatever, then she or he has to provide some creative solution in order to overcome the problem. So then she or he becomes distracted and doesn't go to the root that way, and he has to find something interesting and unusual and valuable, actually. So what I'm also dealing is the kind of analog media for representation, and the analog media can have lots of interaction which is not digital and which also contributes to the physical space, because everybody is talking about the public space, which is also my interest area. So how you do it in the public space using interaction and without digital media is also a form of expression. So once we provide different models for the students and for educational system, then the essence of new media arts and or interactive media design can come to another point, which is much more innovative, in my opinion.
Definitely, because my problem would be that usually the methodology, if you look at like straightforward as technology and art oriented thing, the art would only take what is already a given method in technology and then just apply it, and what it ends up in is a lot of times playful.
I think this is just a phenomenon which comes since the separation of art and science. If we look at the fine arts in former days, a lot of science has developed out of the arts, like the perspective and things like this, and also chemicals and all this stuff. But since there are these technical means, these high technical means, like photography basically, or electricity, and things which were really hard to get hands on for the artists because they were so expensive. There is this chiasma now happening, and in the beginning, I think in the 70s and 80s, at least as I remember, artists were even also in the forefront of the technical approach, where all the computer vision stuff, which of course basically comes from the military complex, with all this technical stuff, you don't have to think about it a minute, it's basically coming. All the computer vision had only one goal, it was to direct cruise missiles to the right spot. So this is where all the money gets in, and the artists, they get the breadcrumbs and of this. So, and in the last 10 years, there was this media getting extreme complex, but now I think there's coming back a second wave of breaking it down to new technical frameworks which are easy to use. And all these do-it-yourself things and things are trying to reoccupy somehow of the technical means, and to say, oh, no, we like this. If you can't open it, you don't own it. So you really have to work on this, and it gets less and less, I think, technically orientated in the classical way, and more getting back that the production means are going back to the producer.
Because sometimes I feel that the real innovation is always a little bit outside of the institutionalized
framework. I think this is one of my, also of the topics I want to talk this evening about, is does it make sense to make an academic education?
That's very important.
I was always, now I'm somehow, also because of economic reasons, I'm teaching at the university, but I was never really fond of this system. It's a system of the 19th century and of the 70th and 80th century. Basically, it was established to, at least in Austria, I cannot really talk about other countries, but in Austria, its main purpose was that the children of doctors and lawyers became doctors and lawyers, and the others stay workers. You can really, all the statistics say exactly this, and if you look at the curricula in former days and things like this, it was really, nobody really cared about education. They only cared about making kind of a filter in the, on the society, who lets only some people through and the other they will care about. Now in the 60s and 70s of this century, this changed a little bit. Only the statistics say at least the opposite. In Austria, the percentage of worker childs on university is about 0.7 or 1.2%. All the other childs are from academics or higher, at least so-called skilled workers.
I think that the situation here is a bit different.
Maybe this is cause of communism, mm-hmm. I think.
Definitely.
Also, I see this in Slovakia and Czechia, where I have a little insight in the process.
It's coming back to that, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in Austria it even gets worse. They want to establish the America system, like to make education for the masses just as low as possible. And
so they will never climb up.
And then even universities, so they see there is no way back, because of course the middle class has grown up enormously in Austria. The so-called former blue-collar workers ceased to exist, because everything of this stuff is made in China and not anymore in Austria. So we are doing this on the second service and third service market. We are doing tourism, design, all this stuff. And all this, of course, they go to universities, but I think they do it like this. They say we have no money, so we make it as cheap as possible. And for the upper class people, they go to private universities, to private schools. That's the model, basically, which is in their mind at the moment, I think.
Well, in my opinion, I agree with you totally. In my opinion, the role of academicians now is becoming much more important, because we have to get out there and find the suitable companies or supporters which we will act as their research base, because research is actually done in the university. I mean, where else? So we have to be the researchers of them and work with the students to get through the innovative projects and then make them possible through the TV companies, media companies, whatever, because otherwise it is so much stuck inside the buildings, which is called the university. But within our, we're not talking about an area like literature, or even medicine has hospital to provide what you learn and how you apply it. So we need to develop connections and networks outside the university, and together with industry only we can gain much voice, because the problem here is that this area is very new. It's just 10 years old. How old? I don't know, maybe 15. I mean, while this internet and technology gains much more importance, it's 10 years, let's say. So within 10 years, it cannot stay within the buildings of the university. So we have to get out and push forward the students ourselves, and to bring out networks that we can apply things, because whatever funds you can gain from a university, as actually for Turkey it is very less. We are only in the idea. We cannot go anything further, but we create enormous ideas and lovely things, but we can't apply. So what's the use when you can't apply it, and when you're in an application based area and discipline? So we have to get out, in my opinion, and develop networks within the countries and also within companies.
But maybe we also have to develop a different system of education. We have some, not unfortunately not my department, but on our university, especially in the business disciplines, they have a very interesting model. It's called the dual education, where they are really working. They are not we have kind of two models. The one is you are working and then you are studying on the weekend and things like this. Yeah. But this is not like this. The work is really integrated in the study. They have fixed agreements with companies, and it's also, I think, a good way about changing the companies, because if they have a lot to do with young students, they maybe will also change their mind. Like, for example, the last disaster, maybe it's too high, but if students maybe with a critical mind have been on this oil platform, they would have eagerly said, no, it's not possible to do this. So,
do they get paid for what they do?
Yeah, of course, they do get paid.
Yeah, because the system...
They don't
all
get
over.
Much,
yeah,
but it's not an internship. It's also in close connection to the the educational department of the university. So they are looking at the curricula and say, okay, normally we do like a laboratory thing in our university, but no, we don't do this. We say, okay, these 15 hours, these go to this company, and they just work there and under guidance of special trained people there also. It's not just an internship, but it's really... really education on two columns.
Our department is actually pushing forward students and using our lecturers' networks to push the students to work in those companies while it's also accepted by the school. They have a very little salary, but they work for example, a TV, interactive TV interface design, and then they can provide this design for their project design course. And afterwards, we push them to go abroad to do masters and then return back to us with much more ideas and creative perspective. It works very well, really very well, because once you're inside the university, you are stuck this way or that way. So, and it is unfortunately based some kind of funding for us to develop things.
In Austria too, and I think also till 10 years ago, there was this mood that, like when I grew up, we didn't care about money because there were fundings endlessly. So everybody, my parents were asking me, what will you do when you're going to be? I don't care because it's money everywhere, yeah, you know. But nowadays, the young people, they are much more concerned about this. And it's also not happening. It will not happen anymore in the future.
It was always like that in Turkey. Yeah. I mean, we didn't have that much relaxing and comfortable environments and to live and to develop a future on it. So we always looked for ways to provide money. But universities, because my father was also a professor, I know universities do not have that much funding in Turkey. So in application areas, disciplines like ours, we have to get out and push the boundaries. No other choice for that, in my opinion. And because this area is very new, it seems to other people that it's very unusual that we go out and work with the industry, but it is not that way. We have to go out.
How do you think that any kind of support educational systems function? Like, there are many like workshops offered. These are really smaller projects and maybe not on the grand scale so efficient, but in Slovenia we have, okay, university is one system, but then we have about at least 10 NGOs that deal with organizing.
Kibra Pipa,
yeah, for example, and then Ljudmila. We're trying to do something in SCCA and Maska, and there are like many NGOs. Maybe this is really not important on a grand scale, but you know, are we doing at all anything that
I
is
think
significant?
This is very important, because if the university has the monopoly on doing this thing, it will get nuts over time. You have to have at least one thing like this, even more, for two reasons. On the one thing, as a corrective to the academic thing. So in my career, I was on university, but I did something completely different. I did study medicine and I finished it, and then I was working as an artist. And then I was looking at the Institute of Electronic Music from the university. They told me, hey, you should come to us and work. And I was looking at their work and I said, this is all academic nonsense. I don't like this. It's old and it takes very long till it produces sound, and everything is very expensive, very big machines. But because in the free scene, you're really looking at each euro, at each cent, yeah, like you do. Yeah, you have. And in the official thing, there was always money, yeah, not some, but...
Yeah, throwing thousand here and there.
Yeah, and so it's really important that there's the opposite side on this. And also then there are people swapping from this side to the other side and saying, hey, look, what you're doing, it's not okay. You have to think about how world is functioning outside.
Yeah, we are hoping for that.
And this is also, of course, why I'm doing these cooperations. Of course, so bringing some money from the one side, at least as long as we are happy to have, as we are privileged in Austria. The artistic side, they cut it down year after year, but as long as it works, we are trying to get as much money from the state as possible. So.
And what they think about how, for our discipline, I mean the owners of the money or who is going to fund us, is that we are just dealing with the computers and monitors and doing lovely things there, and that has no maybe context for them or importance for them, but it's not like that. Because I'm still stressing on the same thing, because it is a very new discipline, we have to assure them that this is the future.
It's actually, interaction design is basically non-existent in Slovenia, or the idea of it. They are people who do it instantaneously. Or
yeah, you do it all the time. If you're doing something, even if you're like making this... sitting things here, this is interaction design. Yeah, you do it.
But the thing is that it's not really, people are not aware of it, that it functions, and only those who are enough in connection with other places, then they do. Nobody speaks about that here.
The interaction actually is in life everywhere. And I'm an architect. My background is architecture, so I totally agree with you. When you do the seating thing, it becomes interactive. But interaction design is now understood as web design, which is not like
that. That's not...
Never ever. But, and it's getting old.
Yeah,
what is
in the automotive
design?
Industry.
Exactly. So we also have to... We also have to change the route that interaction design is understood as web design, or how you click, or how you do the button.
You operate the coffee machine.
Exactly. It's not about that. Exactly. It's about... So that's why I'm talking about the context and essence of innovation, because the innovation is to find the spirit of the thing itself. So once you find the spirit, you can use different media and different designs to make it alive. Interaction design is very new, actually.
And it's very... Sorry to interrupt, no. Very important at the moment is more and more the young people. There was a big change in Facebooking, SMSing and things like this. But I think as all the statistics say, the young people, they don't watch television really. About 80% they're using electronic devices to interfere with social in a social way. So and so the design of the interface is very important about how they think about social contexts, about everything in the future.
The acknowledgement of oneself or the basic semantic structures and everything comes.
And I even see that there's a flashback from so-called, I don't like this word, but from the so-called virtual world, like Facebook, back in the real world, like they dress,
that is
like
the
they
real.
Behave.
That's,
yeah, that's the real.
That's the real.
That's why I still insist on designing, for example, a course that focuses on the analog media, because the traditional things like meeting around a coffee table is very traditional, and they are meeting around their coffee table, which is called Facebook. So once they understand that meeting, for example, is essential, like drinking and other things, they will get much more other perspective at looking at the things, because they are so much limited with what technology offers, and they don't...
But they are even obsessed a little bit, but not obsessed. This is not the right one. It's if there was a party 3 days ago and I was watching them very carefully, and they were sitting like me, but everybody was having their iPhone
it's
out.
And scary. It's so scary when I
don't think it's scary, because this was what I heard from my, not from my parents. Luckily, I had very, very
parents.
Open-minded parents. No, because when I was young, there were comics who were coming up and everyone was, this is the end of... This is the
literature.
End of the culture, of literature, of everything. And my father said, I like this comic, so we buy them. And it's since I was three or five years old, everybody, with every new media, everybody said, this is the end. So, and if you go back and if you look, so we have just learning to think about it. What you have to switch your view. You don't have, at least I try not to view it from my perspective, but from like... the comic thing, if you want to make something, so to say, the world a better place, you don't have to look at it like a literature people on a comic, but like a comic doing people looking at comics and thinking, okay, what is bad in the comics, what is good, how can I improve the comics? And so I have to think, how can I improve the use of these gadgets, the use of technical media in our daily life, because it will not go away. And how can I bring the quality, for example, the good things of all the tradition, of all the media? Because basically there is no new media, because everything we approve media through our senses. This at least at the moment, maybe this will be a big switch if we will have the neuron chip here and we will not anymore approach media through our senses. But as long as we do approach media through tactile, smelling, seeing and hearing, it's the same. It's the same for 20,000 years, for 40,000 years. Thank you.